Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Just for information about using the computer system, if a class is starting late, the teacher can instruct to type /L. If sometimes there's ways to indicate exactly what class is going on. You only need to do that if it's against the schedule. If you're having a substitution, a class at the wrong time, at the abnormal time, then you tell the computer. Otherwise, you don't have to tell it what class it is. Yeah. Okay. We'll have to say it again when everybody's here. Okay. Okay, we're talking specifically, let's go backtrack a little bit. What are we talking about? We're talking about when the suggestion generates another suggestion, when you have multiple suggestions, or uttamottama kavya. And when what is suggested is something in which you can perceive the sequence of suggestion. We have a sequence because we have one suggestion suggesting another. So we have a sequence of suggestions. If what's being suggested is rasa, you're not going to be able to discern the sequence because it'll be too fast. But if it's vastu or alankara that's being suggested, then you can trace out how one suggestion makes another suggestion. That's called anudvananam, or subsequent reverberation. Now those kinds, the analyzable analyzable cases where a suggestion is suggesting another suggestion, those suggestions can be based on the meaning, on the particular words, or just on the meaning of the words, or on a combination of both. How you have a combination of both is when you have more than one word in a verse, and for part of the verse, for some of the words, it depends on the actual word, and some of the other words, some of the idea doesn't depend on particular words. Okay, you have a meaning which partly depends on particular words, but not completely. That would be both. And we'll see examples. Right now we're dealing with examples. These kinds of dhwanis divide basically into two, where what is being suggested is either a vastu or an alankara, either an idea or a figure of speech. That makes two divisions. Actually, six divisions, because we have... Why six divisions? Anybody can say? That's two. That's what, Mula? Oh no, actually. We're actually talking about when we're talking about the. No, well, the first you have one suggestion suggesting another, so the first suggestion could be based on either literal meaning or figurative meaning. The second one is based on the first vyanjana, so that's vyanjana, mula vyanjana. You see? Because the second suggestion is being suggested by the first. So it's based on a suggested meaning. Don't write that. I'll give you something else to write. This is old. We're going to have 12 divisions. I want to put them on the board, not something else. Yeah. So this is a case, we're talking about one suggestion number one making suggestion number two. So suggestion number two, which is our final product, is always going to be based on a suggestion, because it's based on suggestion one. So we're really dealing with, at least as far the final product of the double suggestion, is Vyanjana Mula, because it's one Vyanjana that's based on another. Yeah, the first suggestion, but because that's just the intermediary. We're not focusing on that. We're focusing on the result of the whole process is based on Dwani. It's Dwani Mula Dwani. Now, because then we get complicated enough without making a double analysis. We'll just analyze the final result. We're not going to analyze all the intermediate steps. Yeah.
Types of suggestions depending on their origin: Abhidha Mula, Lakshana Mula, and Vyanjana Mula. And then each one of them could be either Vyangya or Avyangya, so it becomes six altogether.
What do you mean Vyangya or Avyangya?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Analyzable or unanalyzable.
No, Vyangya is not the word. Vyangya means that which is suggested.
Oh, Alakshya Krama.
Yeah, but we're actually here only talking about Lakshya Krama. The Alaksha Krama we can't analyze further because it seems to be simultaneous. We can't analyze it because it just goes too quickly.
It's more than 25.
We leave that unanalyzed. Now we're focusing just on that where the Krama of one Vyanjana leading to another can be perceived. It's going slow enough that we can see it. There, what's being the final product of the complex, the chain of one Vyanjana leading to another, the final product can be either Vastu or Alankar. That can be also Shabda Mula, Shabda Shakti Mula, Artha Shakti Mula, or Ubaya Shakti Mula. Understand what that means? Based on the particular word and its meaning, or the meaning where it doesn't depend, where you could substitute the word. It doesn't depend on the exact word. That's Artha Mula. Or where it partly depends and partly doesn't depend on the actual word. That's three different kinds. Three times two is six. Let's write that down if you want. First two divisions are, okay. Let's call it Vastu Dwani and Alankar Dwani. That means what is suggested is either a Vastu or an Alankar. So that's the first two divisions. You have an upside down tree. You know, one node on the top and then two branches. The one for everything is Vyanga Krama Dwani. What? Vyanga Krama, Dwani. Dwani where the sequence. What are you saying? Well, you can say it back. I'm just saying it backwards. Same thing. In different places, he says it both ways. Let's say this. Vyangya Krama, not Vyangya, Lakshya Krama Anudwani. To distinguish it from simple dwani, but a compound dwani, anudwani. Lakshya Krama Anudwani is, put that in parentheses too, because that means you can perceive the sequence. It's a complex of one suggestion leading to another, and you can perceive the sequence. So we can analyze it because we can perceive it. If we can't perceive it, there's nothing for us to analyze. So when we're suggesting rasa, we can't analyze it this way. But if it's not rasa, if it's vastu or alankar that's being suggested, then we can analyze it. So we have two divisions. That is vastu dwani or alankar dwani. Vastu dwani or alankar dwani. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's divide it up into three first and then into two. How's that? Sorry. Because that's how he does it. First he divides it into three, then he... Shabda mula, arta mula, obaya mula. Let's say shabda shakti mula to be more proper. The potency of the word. And you can just see, he abbreviates it. Shabda mula, arta mula, obaya mula, ubaya mula. And then each one of those, the dwani can be either vastu or alankar. So you can just say under each one of them, give two divisions, vastu and alankar. So you should have six now, and leave room for more. The what? There will be examples, yes, they're coming. Yes, yes, that will make 12. Wait. We'll get to it. No. It's this is a little bit abbreviated. It's Shabda Shakti, Arta Shakti, and Ubaya Shakti. I left out the Shakti because he does also later on. It's the potency of the individual words meaning, or the. Can I explain? Yeah, the potency either of the individual words. The word, the meaning of the particular word, or the meaning in general separated from any particular word, or a combination of the both. Shakti is implied. You wrote Shakti in? Okay. What did you write? Okay. Let me. I got to be able to think about what I'm supposed to say next. Okay. I don't have my glasses. The Shabda Mula actually only has two divisions. So, yeah. It's the Arta Mula that further subdivides. Okay, Shabda Mula can be. You're suggesting the vastu or the alankar, because it depends on a particular word. But if it doesn't depend on a particular word, if you're allowed to substitute words and get the same effect, the arta mula vyanjana can further subdivide. Not only vastu and alankar, but there's a further subdivision. Okay, let's focus now on the Shabda Mula, which doesn't break down into any further subcategories. We only have two subcategories of Shabda Mula Anudwani, where we're dependent on using particular words. If we change, we switch and use synonymous words, the effect is ruined. We don't get the same suggestions. Well, before I go ahead and read the examples, are there any confusion about this much? But we're only looking at the Shabda Mula so far. I think the examples will clarify things. Based on the particular word. It's the meaning of the word, but it's the meaning of, it has to be that word. You can't use a substitute or a synonym. Well, we'll see in the actual example how that works. Yeah. See, it's the opinion of some that both the Shabda Mula and the Arta Mula further breaks down into 12 more subdivisions, which would give us 12 times 3 is 36 altogether. You see, the opinion of others is that Shabdamula also further subdivides beyond this split into two. But Kavi Karnapur denies that. He says, no, it's only the Artamula that further breaks up into another 12 subdivisions. So let's, before we go on to the Artamula, we're going to look at two examples of each of the Shabdamula, where we're depending on the actual word for the second suggestion. Okay, here's a verse. Asha matre vilasarudaya padmini chakrabandhu siddha boga satatam anisham anisha modham Moda Maitri Kashaya Satatam Anisham Moda Maitri Kashaya Radashle Shadishu Niravadivya Pritak Shonapado Rochik Purai Hadatu Bajatam Shitatam Krishna Chandraha. Okay, that's a long verse. Can someone, does anyone have his dictionary at hand? Can you look up the word Padmini? I forgot to check it before class. Some kind of lotus, but particular kind. Okay, this verse is talking about the subject of the verse is Krishna Chandra. I'm sorry, there's some noise. Okay, any English? Just lotus? Is it day lotus, a night lotus? Well, no, we're talking. What I want to know is which kind of lotus. Is it a daytime lotus or a nighttime lotus? Doesn't say? Okay, just lotus. Lumbia, okay. Well, okay. Krishna Chandra is the subject. Well, we have a metaphor here. Krishna is a moon. It's the moon that's Krishna. Okay, the Krishna Chandra. So actually this verse can be understood in two ways. Are we talking about a moon or are we talking about Krishna? The descriptions may be moony descriptions or Krishna descriptions. What are the descriptions? Acha matre vilasad udaya. Rising, the splendor of his rising is in all the directions. Now, of course, we're talking about the Krishna Chandra, not about ordinary moon. It's a metaphorical moon. It's really Krishna. Right? And it says, the glory of the splendor of his rising is visible in all the directions. Well, that's something unusual. That's unique. Because a regular moon only rises in one direction. The Krishna, the splendor of his rising, fills up all the directions. And Padmini Chakrabandhu, he's the friend of all the lotuses, the whole circle of lotuses. Well, these are nighttime, daytime lotuses, and the moon is the enemy of the daytime blooming lotuses. They shut up when he rises, the Padminis. That's what Vishnu says, is that the regular moon is the enemy of the Padmanis. But this Krishna Chandra, he's the friend of all the Padmanis. Of course, Padmanis is a certain kind of woman. There's the gopis here. Or the little goddesses of fortune. Siddha Bogaha. Aboga is like a snake's body, or in the case of the moon, it's the full moon, the full body. Snake has got a big body. His torso is his whole body. And it's sometimes very long and big. That's called Aboga. Well, the full moon can also be called Aboga. But this Krishna moon is Siddhaboga. It's full all the time. Whereas the regular moon is only full once a month. And Satatam... Anisham, Moda Maitri Kashaya. Let's see what. I'm sorry, Anisham. Anisham is the adverb constantly. It's not talking about the nighttime. Anisham also means constantly, without interruption. Amoda Maitri Kashayaha. Now, Kashaya can mean the color, like a dark or a yellowish color. But it also means, in the case of Krishna, it means sweetness. Kashaya Shabdotra Madhurya Vachaka. The word Kashaya can have the meaning charm, sweetness. And that's, the Amarakosha says, Madhure Pi, Kashaya Ksyat. The word Kashaya can mean Madhura, Madhuryam, sweetness. So the sweetness of his friendship is always giving pleasure, constantly. So, but the moon, the regular moon, is only present in the sky some of the time. So he's not constant like Krishna. Moon, the regular moon is very inconstant. You can't depend on him. Radha Shlesh Adishu Niravadi Vyaprita. Vyaprita is busy, without cessation, busy in embracing Radha and other pastimes. The regular moon... Radha and Ashlesha are also names of two nakshatras. This is a pun, a play on words, double entendre. Radha Ashlesha can mean embracing of Radharani, but it is also the name of two of the nakshatras, two of the constellations that the moon passes over. So the Krishna moon is always engaged in Radha Ashlesha, but the regular moon passes over the constellations of Radha and Ashlesha only once a month. Shonapado. This is a special moon. This moon has reddish feet, whereas the feet of the regular moon are white. Vishwanath says the feet of the moon, that's the figurative feet, are his rays. The moon's rays are not red, they're white. But this is a unique moon with red feet, reddish feet, the Krishna moon. Rochik Purdair Hadatu Bhajatam Shitatam. May with the abundance of his effulgence, may this Krishna Chandra Hadatu may take away the cold of those who worship him. Well, Krishna takes away the suffering of the cold of his worshippers, but the regular moon makes everybody colder. The regular moon, its light is cool. But Krishna removes the coldness. So he's different than the regular moon. So what is being... suggested in each one of these is a... Okay. What is being suggested overall by each of these special words? It's very much dependent on play of words here. Each one of these suggestions is based on using a particular word that has a double meaning. Every one of these expressions. So it's very much shabda shakti mula. It's dependent on the actual word. If you changed all these words for synonyms, the whole effect would be ruined. The double entendres would not be there. And it couldn't be at the same time comparing Krishna's special moon with the regular moon. What is being suggested, first of all, that this Krishna moon is a very unique moon. It's different than the regular moon. That's the first suggestion. That is a vastu. The first thing that's suggested is a simple vastu. But the second thing that's suggested is an alankar. The fact that Krishna is a unique moon is suggesting the figure that we haven't studied these figures of speech yet, the alankars, the ornaments. But there is an ornament that's being suggested by that fact that's suggested. It further suggests the ornament called Vyatireka Alankar. That something is quite different than it normally should be. This moon is not like an ordinary moon. saying that or having that in mind suggests the figure of speech called Vyativeka Alankar. Contrariness.
Okay, we're sort of like losing and gaining people every minute here. Coming and going. Sorry. So, what we end up with is an Alankar suggested by a Vastu. So that is the second of the divisions of Shabdamula Vyanjana, and the result of it is what is suggested is an Alankar. In this case, Vyativeka Alankar, contrariness. Now, technically speaking, when we divide up the Kavya Purusha, the person who is the embodiment of poetry, Dwani is the life air of that body, of that person. His body, the Kavya Purusha, his body, this physical substance, are sound and meaning, the words and their meanings. Yes. This is not, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, it's okay, but you know, it's hard to conduct a class. I was popping in and out, yeah. Yes. I was trying to look and see what he says here. Let me check it again. I'm sorry. I can't answer it right now. I just can't find it. Here, I've seen Anishamni Rantanam Amodai. I'm sorry, Vishnu doesn't say how this applies to the regular moon, how the regular moon is called Satatam Anisham Amodakashaya. Well, I think what the contrast is that Krishna is this all the time and the moon is not. But how? So the moon is sweet. The moon is sweet when it's a full moon. But, you know, a little sliver of a moon is not much, you know, the lovers. They glance at the full moon, not the sliver of a, you know, 1/8 of a moon. So the moon is, you know, has got full charm only a little bit of the time, whereas Krishna is completely charming all of the time. That's the contrast. Well, that's, yeah, he's constant, and the moon's not constant. It's always changing its phases. It's not there all the time. That's it. Okay. Now, that phone call couldn't have been postponed?
Well, it was. Yeah, I was calling everyone from
Okay, but, you know. You know, it's like this class is varying from between 2 and 5 people every minute. So technically speaking, Alankar is just the ornaments on the body of the Kavya Purusha. His life air is Dhvani. And his body is composed of words and their meanings. Poetry, physically what it is words and their meanings. And the soul of poetry that gives it life is not just a dead body, is suggestion, Dhvani. And Alankars add to the beauty, but they're just ornaments. If a person is beautiful enough, he doesn't need ornaments. And poetry can be super excellent without any Alankars. They're just additional ornamentation. So when we say that the Dhvani, what is suggested, because remember, the definition of Dhvani is what is suggested. It's the karma, the palam. If the palam, what is suggested, is an Alankar, that's incongruent, because the Alankar is just an ornament and the Dhvani is supposed to be the life air. So there's something figurative about this. It's not actually literal. It's the Dhvani is ornamented. It's not actually the ornament. But we say it. It's figurative, just like you call a sannyasi a Brahmin sannyasi. He's not a Brahmin anymore, but he was a Brahmin before he took sannyas. So we call him a Brahmin sannyasi, figuratively. So we call this Dhvani an Alankar, even though it's really what is ornamented rather than the ornament. But anyway, this is a useful category, to call it that what is suggested is the ornament. It's actually the meaning. A Dhvani is a particular kind of meaning. So the meaning is ornamented by the figure of speech. But we can say that it's the figure of speech that's the result of, we can say figuratively that it's the figure of speech that is being suggested. Okay. One more example. Which one? No, I'll tell you. First of all, each of these plays on words is suggesting, by using particular words, that Krishna is a very unique moon. He's different than the ordinary moon. That's the first suggestion. That further creates a second suggestion, that a suggestion of the ornament of the poem, of vyatireka alankar, of contrariness. That Krishna's a moon, but he's, you know, it's different, and that is an ornament. So the ornament is the second suggestion. We haven't studied ornaments yet, so to fully understand them, we have to, you know, wait till we get to that chapter. But they're just figures of speech. They are literally ornaments on the body of poetry. But poetry is enhanced. So to suggest a figure of speech adds to the strikingness and the beauty of a poem. So the figure of speech of contrariness is being suggested here as the second Dhvani. Now, here's an example of the second Dhvani, what's being suggested, being vastu, an idea. Dadati samadura ragam parimalam ekanta sukumara guna kalita lalite mama bhushita kanta Tvam eva vanamala. This is Krishna talking to Lalita Devi. That you alone are actually my garland. Just like he wears a garland around her neck, around his neck, he'd prefer to have Lalita Devi around his neck instead. Now he describes that garland. Dadati samadhu paragam parimalam. So dadati, that vanamala, here Lalita Devi is a figurative garland. You are my garland. She's not a garland, she's a person, but figuratively she's the garland. That garland is carrying parimalam. What's a parimalam? It's a fragrance. That's what parimala means. And that parimala is mixed, sa madhuparagam, with the kumkum from the honeybees. The flowers have their own fragrance, but because the honeybees have been on those flowers, they've left the pollen or their bee pollen on it. And that's added another taste to the fragrance. So it's the fragrance of the garland mixed with the fragrance of the pollen left behind by the bees. Atisukumara, and that garland is extremely soft. Gunakalita, and it has all transcendental qualities. Bhushita kanta, it's decorating my neck. So that's in the case of a garland. In the case of Lalita, she's very fragrant in her own right. She's not a flower garland, but she is very fragrant, carrying what's figuratively the pollen from bees, but it's actually the kumkum that she's wearing, that extra fragrance. And she's very soft and tender, and she's full of great qualities. So Krishna says, for me, you're my garland. Now, what's being suggested here? This is by Shabda Shakti. The poet here is juxtaposing a contrast of the comparable qualities of a garland and of Lalita Devi. This is the expertise of the poet. He's using the expressive poetry, expressive power of particular words. This is again Shabda Shakti Mula. It's only by, like the word, well, anyway, these words, it's particular words. If you change the words, then the comparison would break down. We're talking in the words madhu paragam, the color, the pollen from the bees. Raga can also mean red color or kumkuma. If you didn't use that word, if you use some other word for bee pollen, then the metaphor would break down, or the comparison between the flower garland and Lalita would break down. It depends on the individual words being used, not just the idea. So there's a particular idea being suggested. He's saying, literally, what he's saying is, you alone are my garland. What does that suggest? That suggests a further idea, that I have great affection for you, not for that flower garland. And I want to embrace you. I don't care about embracing the flower garland. That's the idea that's suggested. You know, I care for you, not for the flower garland, and I want to have you around my neck, not the flower garland. That's the idea that's suggested. So that's a Vastu Alankar, a Vastu Dwani. Shabda Mula. Okay. Tomorrow or next time will be Thursday. Day after tomorrow, we'll look at the Artha Mula, which is more complex. It has more divisions. Yeah, what the first example, it was an Alankar, particularly Vyativeka Alankar that was suggested. Here it's an idea, or two ideas. The idea is that I have affection for you more than for a flower garland, and I'd rather have you around my neck than a flower garland. That's what's suggested. That idea, that's the vastu. Yes. The first money is that you are, no. Okay, hold on, so let me get that from Vishnut. Okay, sorry, the first suggestion is, I'm sorry, I gave two ideas, they are the two different suggestions. The first suggestion is that my affection is particularly for you, not for the flower garland. What he said in so many words is, you are my flower garland. What he implied by that, what he suggested by that, is I love you more than I love my flower garland. And the second implication created by that first one is I'd rather have you around my neck than the flower garland. That's how Jiva Goswami himself says it. Tvam pratyeva me samadaraha. That suggested. It's for you only that I have my concern. Not to tasyam, not for the flower garland. Tena. So by that, tena, by that suggestion, it suggested another suggestion. Tvada linganam eva me priya. What I really want is your embrace, not the flower garland's embrace. Yeah. Please.
I'm trying to understand, like, are these things recognizable in the Bhagavatam? I'm wondering, how will I apply this that I'm learning? Well, so.
See, some poetry doesn't deal with all these, doesn't use all these fancy devices. Okay, alankars are not always present in excellent poetry. The poetry of Kalidas doesn't have much alankar, whereas someone later on who's writing in a very stylistic, fancy style will use more alankars. But dhwani should always be there in great poetry. And the best poetry should have complex dhwanis, dhwanis creating other dhwanis. So you should be able to find them in the Bhagavatam, if the Bhagavatam is actually the best poetry. But if the poetry, if it's not fancy, if it's simple language, it's hard to discern. When it sounds and looks simple, it's hard to find the subtle suggestions. You know, so they're there, but you really have to dig deep to discover them.
No work was compiled by any acharya about, or sometimes
only some hints. Sometimes Vishnu Chakravarti sometimes points out a few, you know, dhwanis. Usually that's not dealt with in Bhagavatam commentaries. If you look at Rupa Goswami, commentaries on Rupa Goswami's plays, you'll find, because that's drama, that's classical poetry. It's written in a more style, you know, poetic style. Bhagavatam is written in a apparently simple kind of poetry. But the, you know, apparently simple poetry can have very, very deep suggestions hidden within it. But you have to be very discriminating and dig deep to find them. They're not obvious. There's dhwani there, but it's not obviously on the surface.
It's like Nityananda, in his class this morning, he said that Jiva Goswami was mentioning.
First of all, Bhagavatam is full of expression of rasa.
Yeah.
But that expression of rasa is not the kind of thing that a layman can easily see. Only the rasikas can see where the rasa is. They're tuned into rasa. So rasa is always in poetry expressed not directly but by dhwani. So there's all kinds of dhwani suggesting rasa, but that's the unanalyzable kind, the difficult, the almost impossible to analyze kind of dhwani. You'll understand all the dhwani that's in the Bhagavatam when you can taste the rasa.
It's like Nityananda this morning, there's this verse that Bhishma is glorifying that Krishna is your maternal uncle, he's your friend, he's all of this.
Yes.
And then previous to that, the verse previous to that was you saying Narada and all these great personalities, they know the Lord's Anubhava.
Yes.
And then the suggestion that's made that Jiva Goswami says that even though they, like the connection between these verses, even they know the Anubhava, they're not able to subdue Krishna with their love like you are.
Yes.
That's not mentioned.
Not mentioned. That is a dhwani. That's a vastu dhwani. Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's other alankar dhwanis. So the alankar dhwanis and the vastu dhwanis, you can analyze them and identify them and put them in a box. You know, they're relatively easy to distinguish. But the more important dhwanis, the dhwanis of the rasas and the bhavas, until you can tune into them and identify the rasas and bhavas, you won't be able to see that there's dhwani there. So there's a lot more dhwani going on than it seems to be. Ornate poetry that's artificially fancy can have all sorts of superficial dhwanis and have almost no expression or no expression of rasa. But poetry that seriously expresses rasa is more significant, even if it seems simple and it seems like there's no dhwani there. But it's because we don't recognize the rasa that we don't recognize the dhwani in that case. The dhwanis of simple facts and ornaments, that's easy to see, relatively easy to see. That's what you can learn out of the textbook. But you can't discover the rasa dhwani until you're capable of actually experiencing rasa. But if you really give a lot of thought to it, you can discover the dhwanis in the Bhagavatam, even on the level of vastu and alankar. There's plenty of it, but you have to think very carefully about it. Okay, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.